إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue and continue presenting for you this point that as a parent we should know and act upon, because these are points that will help us to do a better job as related to the education of our children. Still reading from the talk by our noble Shaykh, Dr. Abdul Razzaq ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah. We left at the last class at the sixth point. قال أيضا من الأمور المعينة على تربية الأبناء أن تأمرهم وتنهاهم. Likewise, from the things that will assist us and help us as parents to give our children the best Islamic education and upbringing, that we as a parents, we should command our children to do certain things and command them to stay away from other things. What are these things? قال أن تأمرهم بما ينفعهم من الخير والصلاح والاستقامة والبر والصلة وتنهاهم عما يضرهم من الفواحش والمعاصي والرذائل. As a parent, we command our children with all that which is good for them and beneficial for them, anything that brings them good in this life and in the hereafter. We command them to be upright, to be righteous, to be good, to be kind, to be merciful, to be generous. We command them to respect others, to respect their family members. And likewise, anything that is good, from early age, where they can grow up knowing what is good, we command them to be truthful, to speak the truth, not to lie. We command them to be dutiful to Allah who created them, to be mindful that Allah sees them, hears them, and that He created them and He fashioned them in the best form, and therefore they should worship Him alone. Likewise, we forbade them from anything that it is harmful to them, from all wicked things, sins, and all despicable manners. We command them not to lie, not to cheat, not to steal, not to abuse others, whether as related to their honor, blood, or properties. We command them to stay away from places of evil and the like. فدائما تتابع ابنك. This is what a parent should be involved in the life of your children, and especially the youth. If you didn't do it from early age, now it's going to be difficult. If some parents didn't do this, didn't apply these guidelines, when the child is still young, from the age 3, 4, 5, now it's going to be very difficult to do it when a person is already a teenager. But still, don't give up. It may be difficult, but it still can bring some good benefit. Maybe you have to change the style how you talk to a teenager, because the way you talk to a teenager is not the same way you talk to a child. If you have two children, whether they are two sons or two daughters, one is 6 years old or 7, and one is 15 or 14 or 16 or 17, you not talk to them in the same way. You need to know how to approach each one of them, especially the teenager one. Teenagers now, they're like, look, why you talk to me like that? So you have to find the right time. You can't be telling them, sit down here, come over here, go over there, blah. And keep in mind that the best example for us is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very kind. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never yelled at anyone, or rebuked anyone, scolded anyone. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very nice. Whenever he addressed someone, he addressed them with a cheerful face. Likewise, he is the best example for us. That's why when we apply these guidelines, we're going to see a lot of benefits. And the most important things, our children, when they grow up knowing what to do with their children too. It's transferable and transmittable from one generation to the other. Usually those parents who yell at their children and try to beat them up, and they don't sit down nicely and talk nicely, you will find out that that's what their parents did with them. Because their parents used to yell at them. No gentleness, no kindness. Now you gotta be nice, kind. Even if the child did something very bad. Okay, that's a problem. But if you don't deal with it the right way, you have another problem. Now you have two problems as a parent. And we have to humble ourselves to talk to them. Because what is the important is to change the mistake. And we don't change the evil with evil. No, we change evil with good. Alright? Tayyib. It's like someone who finds his child. For example, this is somebody who just bought a phone, a smartphone. What they call them? Give me a number of... What example of smartphone?
HTC smartphone.
What is it? iPhone, yeah? The iPhone, the smartphone. Good. I don't have one, so I don't know. That's fine. Anyone. Can you imagine somebody just buy that smartphone for like $75? Is it $75? More? 100?
Like
600.
600?
Yeah, 800. 800? La ilaha illallah. That's a lot of money, man. Why spend buy a phone 800? Why?
It's like, huh? It's a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Just want to do with the people. That's a lot of money, man. You have one, Abdullah?
No.
Good. Good man. And those who have it, they're good men too. All right, so don't get mad at me now. Well, 800 to me is a lot of money. I feel like I have to double zipper. To lose that phone, you lose like 800. I got one for $25. Alhamdulillah, I keep it here, there. Nobody wants it anyway. They look at it, they're like, ah. Allahu Akbar. Anyway, the point I'm making, can you imagine that father, he just got a phone, $600 or $800. You know, usually when people, they have something new, what do? They keep it, huh? They don't put it anywhere, huh? After a couple of months, it scratched a little bit, they don't care, because it gets old. Can you imagine the first day, and then his son touch it and drop it, oh, scratch, what the father should do now? Nothing, be patient, things do happen. Like that father never dropped anything before in his life. Some other parents, what they do, get mad and take the phone, look at the scratch, and smash it against the wall. This how you do things? No. And blame it on who now? Blame it on who? He blamed it on a kid. Did what the kid do? What did he do? He dropped it. He didn't smash it against the wall. Who threw the phone against the wall? The father. Now he wanna go talk to the mother. Your son, he this and this. He broke my phone. No, he ain't broke no phone. See how things happen sometimes? No, he will look at his son and say, son, actually, you got to keep in mind, when the son dropped that phone, and then his father look at him, actually, at that moment, that son is, you know how he's feeling? What, Nasser? Terrible. He's terrified. He's scared. My father, I just dropped it. Some of them, they can't even talk. Now at that moment, you have to have mercy on your son. Oh yeah, let him. He's already going through some things inside. Don't know what you're going to say. No, you say, son, don't worry about it. It's a phone. It's okay. Alhamdulillah. I dropped them many times. Don't worry about it. Come here. Yes, you shouldn't touch it because it's not yours. But you dropped it. I'm not going to punish you because you dropped something. I drop many things all the time. And tell him, if my job will deal with me like that, I'd be fired a long time ago. I'd be dropping stuff. But they tell me, look, just be patient, man. We need you here. We need you. Keep your post, but just be patient. Don't drop things again. Tell him, likewise, son. Don't worry about it. You dropped it. This is how we talk to. So, changing evil, not with evil, with good. Barakallahu fikum. So here the point the Sheikh is making, that you got to be involved in your life, in the life of your children. You got to talk to them. But you got to be, this relationship has to be positive. They need to learn. What do you think? A child, he's just going to act like you or like somebody who know and been through things? No, they need to learn. That's why on the part of learning, you're going to make mistakes, right or wrong. Can you imagine you yourself, not just somebody else, me or you, we the parents, and you want to learn a trade, you want to learn mechanic, for example. Alright? And then the first day, the mechanic, he says, you did this before? Never. I never touch any wrench or anything. I have no clue what you guys are doing here. But I want to learn. I want to learn. And then, alright, go give me the, once again, help me out. Give me the name of a wrench.
Wrench?
A wrench. Give me a wrench. What's the wrench?
Name-wise,
wrench. Is a plier? Yeah.
Huh? I'm just tools giving you a name. Pliers, wrench.
Oh, wait, give me the wrench.
Wrench is the tools for opening and...
The tires. But those ones, they don't have like numbers, 14, 18, 16.
Oh, yeah.
See, I know stuff. Alhamdulillah, a little bit. So anyway, he said, give me a wrench. Or give me the plier, right? And then you're the one, you're like, you don't know what he says, you don't know. And you're standing there, he said, what are you standing there for? You hear me? What, you can't hear, man? So now you feel like, why are he talking to me like this, right? And then can you imagine if you go and grab anything and bring him... a wrench instead of a plier. Bring him like a screwdriver. And he's going to say, and he yell at you, make fun of you, and you're like, SubhanAllah, I'm here to learn. Correct me. Teach me first. Don't tell me, go get something and you didn't teach me what it is. Teach me, say, look, come here. This part here, we need to take this part, we're going to replace it, okay? Alright? I tell you the name later on. But now you're going to learn the wrench that we take it off first. This is called a plier. Okay, we need a plier and an 18-inch wrench. All right? All right? Come here now. Come with me. You see this red box right here? That's a plier. This is we keep the plier on the third drawer. All right? We always put it here. Don't put it in the second, because if you put it in the second, me, I won't know. I always put it in the third. Please, always keep it there. Come here. You see the bottom drawer? That's when we put the 18-inch wrench. All right? So now, here is the wrench, and here is the plier. Whenever I tell you, bring me a plier, where you go? Third drawer, wrench, bottom drawer. Good? You got it? Okay. If you forget, let me know. I'm here for you. See? That's how it is. He ain't going to yell at him. You don't even know wrench. Who are you, man? Where you been? Where you come from? No. It's no good. The man is coming to learn. He's going to make a mistake. So that person who really wants to teach him, he's going to say, don't worry about it, man. You're doing good. Actually, for your first week in the job, if I tell you about what I did in the first week, you're doing good. Don't worry about it. We all make mistakes. Likewise, we talk to our children. Of course, it is easier said than done. Now, me, I can sit here and give you all the advices. May Allah grant us tawfiq.
Ameen.
So that we can put this to application. All right? Barakallahu feekum. إذا وجدته مخلا ببعض الواجبات تأمره مثل ما تقدم معنا وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها. Especially now, yes, you want to talk to them about manners, but especially you're going to pay attention to the obligations. If you see your son or your daughter, they're negligent when it comes to any obligation, then you have to remind them and command them with that obligation. Explain to them why they should do it, not just because of me, now because Allah will be pleased with you, Allah will reward you, this reward will get you into the Jannah and the like. So that they're like, oh, that's why I pray. Don't pray for me, son. Because some children like that, when their parents, they don't teach them the proper way, they yell at them, did you pray? No. Go pray now. No, the son is just afraid. Sometimes those children, they have to lie. I prayed, son. I prayed, father, I prayed. And they lie. Only to, so that they don't have to deal with the father anger and the like. No. You teach them why he should pray, why she should pray. Because it's good for your son. It's good for your daughter. This make Allah happy with you, son. This make Allah happy with your daughter. And if Allah is happy with you, he's going to take care of you, protect you, preserve you, give you good things in this life and the best things in the hereafter. Same way, son, look, when you do things that I tell you to do, I take you places, I buy you stuff, I buy you toys. Okay, and I'm, whatever, he says, let's go get some Frosties, let's go. Let's go to the park, let's go. But when you start not doing your room, not picking it up, your room is messy, you don't listen, you disrespect your siblings, now you're like, look, son, I cannot take you to the park until you behave. Likewise, we give them some examples. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and command your family with the prayer, to pray, and be patient. Because sometimes you command them, they don't pray, or they delay. There were, Allah didn't say, give it up, call, never command them again. Allah said, be patient. Patience, meaning do it again and again. That's what patience is. When you be patient, I mean you keep doing what you're doing and don't give up. That's why sometimes people say, I'm out of here. They say, Akhi, what's the first thing the other person who wants him to stay, what do you say to him? Be patient, Akhi, be patient, you see? Be patient. Patience is good. So you command your child anything that will make them upright in their religion. And also you keep them away from anything that will have bad effect on them, especially in their religion. Now he says, subhanAllah, and you yourself, remember the point before, that you're supposed to be the example for your children. Supposed to be the example for your children. Do not corrupt their fitrah. The children, they have a fitrah. They're nice. They're good kids. Now, they are created like that. Upon Islamic monotheism. They're nice. Now, who corrupt their fitrah? Now, child, that's the sheikh, he said he find a child 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they lie. How they lie? It's not in their genes. How they lie? They see the parents lying. Or the parents take them to somewhere to spend time amongst other people who lie all day. That's how those children pick up those bad manners, waliyadu billah. Because lying is against the fitrah. How he learned these things? Parents has to pay attention. How they learn these bad things? Children. From the father? Or the mother, or the brother, or the sister, or the uncle, or the aunt, or the grandparents. And that's how they learn, the people they came in contact with. And the Sheikh points out to something that is very important, that is practiced in some communities, I don't know if it's practiced here in America, but in some, he said, in some communities it is practiced. تجد الأب مثلا أو الأم يقول للطفل تعال خذ ويضم يده هكذا تعال خذ هذا فإذا وصل إليه الابن فتح يده ما فيها شيء هذا يعلمه الكذب. He said some parents, father or mother, the son is way over there, or the daughter, he said, come here. But the son is hesitant, you know, I don't know. He's like, all right, here, I got some for you. So he put his hands together like a fist. I got some for you. The kid, like still, two, three years, like, oh, you got some for me? He's coming with a big smile. When they get down, he grab him. He got nothing in the hand. They do this too?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
What they say, Abdullah?
That's
even worse. They like they say, "Oh, I got candy for you, right?" But they have nothing. That's a lie. That's how children they learn a lie. We do not do this. And we have a hadith. We have a hadith. And Abdullah ibn Amir, annahu qal, da'atni ummi yawman wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam qa'idun fi baytina. Faqalat, "Hey, ta'ala u'tik." Abdullah ibn Amir, not ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Amir. He says, radiallahu anhu, he says, once my mother called me. He was young. My mother called me while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in our house. Sitting in our house. He says, and my mother said, come here, I got some for you. You know, I got some for you. At that moment, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, وَمَا أَرَدْتِ أَنْ تُعْطِيهِ. What is that you have for him? What is that you want to give him? She said, come here, I'll give you something. Come here, I got something for you. I'm going to give you something. At that moment, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the mother, what is that you want to give him? قَالَتْ أُعْطِهِ تَمْرًا. Then she said, yeah, I want to give him some dates. Okay? فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, أَمَا إِنَّكِ لَوْ لَمْ تُعْطِهِ شَيْئًا كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْكِ كِذْبَةً. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, if you have nothing to give him, and you just said, come here, I'm going to give you something, there will be written a lie against you. There will be written a lie. And I guess maybe some parents do this. Huh? Come here, I got something for you, but I got nothing. وقال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said, من قال لصبي تعال هاك تمرا ثم لم يعطيه شيئا فهي كذبة. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, if someone said to a child, come, I have some dates for you, but when it don't have nothing to give him, that's a lie. Kidba. It's a lie. And here, some parents, they want to get their children right, and the children, they don't want to come, and they lie. Come here, I got some candy for you. Come here, I got some water, some cookies. I got some, they say, I got a dollar for you here, right here. When the child came, they grabbed him. And then the child was like, where is the candy? The candy? You think I got to give you some candy? Oh, you want some spanking? You know? Nah. And then the children, they learn lies, wal'iyadu billah. Some people, they said, this is a joke. It's not a big deal. Okay, it's a joke, but it teaches your children one of the despicable manners. Lying, والعياذ بالله. وأيضا من الأمور المعينة على التربية, number 7 from the points that help us and assist us as a parents in this very important task and responsibility, which is تربية الأبناء, the cultivation and the upbringing of our children. أن نجنب أبناءنا كل أمر يفسد الخلق. That we should keep anything. Keep away anything that may corrupt the manners of our children. Because the manners could be corrupted. But we should keep away these things around our children. نجنبهم سماع الأغاني الفاجرة والخليعة. No, we keep our children away from music. All types of music, and especially the despicable music, wal'iyadu billah. رؤية المحرمات من النساء والأفلام والمجلات المنحلة. Likewise, movies where display women not dressed properly, and والعياد بالله, and magazines that display bad things. هذه الأشياء نجنب أبناءنا إياها. Anything that will tamper with the good manners of the children, then we should keep it away from the house and keep our children away from those things. قال أما إذا كان الأب يحضر هذه الأشياء لابنه ويضعها بين يديه فإنها تكون بريدا وطريقا والعياذ بالله يؤدي به إلى الفاحشة وارتكاب المحرمات. But when you find a father, he brings the television in the house, DVD and all these magazines, and he thinks that's for him, for grown-ups. And now, those things are right there in the house. The father go to work, with the children, they may get into these things. And that's put them on a path of corruption and of evil. فلهذا يجب على الأب أن يجنب ابنه كل أمر يوقعه فيما حرم الله وفيما يسخط الرب تبارك وتعالى مثل سماع الأغاني والأفلام والمجلات المنحطة. So it is an obligation upon the father to protect his family, protect himself and his family from anything that put the children on the wrong path. His family, because he's responsible. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, protect yourselves and your family from a fire. So we should clean the house from all evil. Allah, sometimes some Muslim homes, Allahu Akbar, they have not just one television, they have like five of them in the house. Every room. And they have a cable, a dish, satellite, 300 plus channels. And now, then the children start acting up, they be violent because of those things they be looking at. Those games, or violence games, they be playing. No, we have to keep. And on top of that, paying cable, that's not permissible. Not permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And help one another upon good and righteousness, and do not help one another upon evil and transgression. So that Muslim father or mother who are paying whatever it is, $49.99, is like, we got a deal. What deal you got from shaitan? Those are the shayateen of the ins, of the human being. With the cable company, DirecTV or whatever they call them, I don't know. What thing? They teach our children Tawheed? Correct Aqeedah? They teach them Tafsir? Those channels, what they are about? They are just about evil and lie and destruction. And now when a Muslim paid the cable, he's like, look, I got you. I want you to stay in the business. He's helping them to stay in the business. And that's wasting money. That's wasting money. And on top of that, those families, Muslims, who they have the, what they call it, the satellite dish, they put it where? On top of the house or by the window. Sheikh Dr. Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, Hafidahullah, I heard him in one of his lectures. He said, those people, They are from those who the hadith apply on them. They are from the mujahireen bil ma'asi. Mm-hmm. The sheikh, he was talking about a hadith that the Prophet says, all my ummah, when they wrong themselves, they are forgiven, except al mujahireen. كلهم معافى إلا المجاهرون. Those who wrong themselves, and they wrong themselves, they are forgiven, except those who do it openly. The Sheikh, he says, those who have a satellite dish, they are telling the people, look, we disobey Allah. Because what's in that satellite dish? Hey, movies, wa'iyadu billah, a lot of evil music, MTV, HNC, whatever. I'm just making up stuff. All right? There's a lot of things. Yes, some father, just the news. The news? Get a newspaper, man. And read it and keep it in Dunkin' Donuts. Don't bring it in the house. There's so many ways. Now you can even get the news on your phone. Rare on. Any updates if you want. So what do you want to do with the news? There is nothing new about the news. You think they tell us anything new, any news? They'll talk about the same thing. Somebody get killed, shot, somebody bribed, somebody took the money, somebody steal. Is it something new? There is nothing in the news. It's all the same corruption. So we have to clean our homes, man, because it's very important. Clean them from music, from movies, from DVDs, from bad company, people who come and corrupt. They are not good example for our children. We have to clean our homes. أيضا من الأمور المعينة على تربية الأولاد وتأديبهم وتقويمهم أن نختار لهم الجلساء ونتابع جلساءهم وننظر مع من يمشون ومن يصحبون ومن هم رفقاؤهم. نعم. Point number 8. From the things that will help us as a parents as related to the education of our children and so that they can be upright inshallah ta'ala, that we should choose for them the best companions. And as parents, we have to be concerned, who are our children's friends? When our children are not with us, who they are with? Who they sit with? Who they spend a couple hours with? Those they call friends. We see who they walk with, who they spend time with, who are their friends are. لماذا كما تقدم الابن يتأثر بجلسائه كثيرا ويتأثر بخلطائه كثيرا. Why? Because the children, they are influenced by their friends a lot. A lot. Now, we've seen parents, man, they were doing a good job with their children, good child from until he get 11 or 12, good etiquette, good manners, good akhlaq. And then he sent him to a summer camp. Just because some flyer says a Muslim summer camp, he didn't check who's sponsoring the camp, who's behind, who are the supervisors, the teachers, or whatever the people. No, go for summer camp with the Muslims. Come 3 weeks later, another child has picked up all evil things from other children who not to blame, because their parents are not doing their job. Now you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful and choose the right companions for your children. Now you see your child wanna play with some children, but you know the children, they lie, they have no manners. The way they talk to the elders in the masjid, they disrespect them. Say to your child, come here son, I know I see you wanna talk to him, but look, I can't be... Why, son? Don't tell him because he's black, he's white, he's Arab, he's non-Arab. No. We don't teach our children this nonsense. Tell them, son, it has nothing to do with his color or what country he's from. But that child, may Allah have mercy on him, he needs to learn some manners. But inshallah, we make dua for him. I don't want you to be around him, inshallah, okay? This way, just leave your child, go out. Sometimes parents come, yeah, subhanAllah, they go to picnics sometimes. Sometimes they're like, oh, a Muslim picnic somewhere. Sometimes a couple hours is enough. It's not a couple months or a couple years. You'll find the father take his children and he's like, go play basketball. With who? Do you know those children? They play basketball and they start talking about I don't know what. And then when your child comes, he's confused now. Now you got to be careful, which is very important. والمرء على دين خليله كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فالمرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالد. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the Sahih, in Hadith, sound Hadith, the person is on the religion of his closest friends. أين؟ The person is on the religion of his closest friends. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us, let every one of you be careful who is taken as friends. It's very important as a parent. Naam, whenever you take your children with, you bring them to the masjid, you take them to the park, take them to visit somebody, you need to know. They want to go play with somebody, you need to know. If that child, mashallah, that teenager is a good teenager, have some, you know that his parents, they were serious, alhamdulillah, you can go and play. Sometimes a teenager, 13, 14, mashallah, has good manners, but then the father let him go with other teenagers that nobody taught them any good values. And they already smoking. They already have bad manners. And now before you know it, man, your son is sneaking. And you start seeing it in his behavior, and you're like, son, why you act? Because those people that he spent time with. Likewise, you as a mother, sometimes you bring your daughter with you to the masjid. You got to see what your daughter she's talking to, who she's spending time with. Sometimes girls, don't you be subhanAllah, they're young, very young, but they be talking about some stuff that you're like, where you get this from? That's another subject in itself. But you want to protect. As a mother, you got to protect your daughter. If she said, mother, I met some daughters, and they said, it's okay if I go and spend some time in their home. Or, what do you call it? Sleepover? Sleepover.
Yes. Sleepover.
Slumber party?
Oh, slumber party.
Is that a good thing to say or not? Bad,
it's
bad. Sleepover, huh? Not the slumber one, huh? Slumber one is bad? Alright, that's bad one. Alright, sleepover. There is a custom in some communities, like here in America, the teenagers, usually teenagers, right, Abdurrahman? Teenagers, boys and girls, or just girls, mainly girls? Boys do it too, huh? You find these girls, that what they do, they says, they're going to go sleep over. What does it mean? That like 4 or 5 girls from different families, they go to one family house. And they spend the whole night doing what? It depends on the family and all those girls. If that family are religious, they're going to, because they're going to be careful who they allow in their home. But sometimes you may send your daughter just because they're Muslims. Oh yeah, go ahead. Oh yeah, you met her. Mashallah, go. But make sure you brush your teeth before you go to sleep, all right? Oh yeah, no, that's a good advice, right? That's it, brush your teeth. And what about when they get up there and they have movies and they have, I don't know what they're talking about, and they stay all day talking about I don't know what? And especially if the father or the mother in the house, they don't care. They just like, look, keep it down up there. And that's it. Whatever they do up there, this is not of his concern. As long as they don't bother him. No, this is no good, Ikhwan. As a mother, if the daughter said, oh yeah, I made this nice, because now you after Jumu'ah, now you're back in the house. And your daughter should tell you, mother, I met this nice sister, she's 14, she's my age. And she really, really, I like her, and she's nice. And she said, if it's okay with you, I want to spend some time in her house. Her mother don't mind. And then he says, no problem, but I want to see who are these people. So you need to do your homework, investigate, If you find that the mother, alhamdulillah, she's upon the deen, she's righteous, pious, and their home is clean, then alhamdulillah. And also, they don't have teenager boys winding around the house. No. Just send your daughter like that? No, you can't do that. Because the consequences be fatal sometimes. Be fatal. Be careful. Now, so you have to be careful who you allow your children to be with, to play with. Now, your children need to play, they need to make friends, but they need to have like 75 friends. One or two is enough if they are right friends. And this is the responsibility of the father. And that's why the father has to be around. Some fathers, they just not around. I mean, like, it's not like they travel. Now, some of them, they are in the house, but they are not around their children. As soon as he get in the house, he's doing his own programs. He don't sit with his children. He don't know what they're doing in their rooms or what they're talking about or nothing. He don't spend time with them. When he get involved, when they are in trouble, and he want to blame them instead to blame himself, instead to say, SubhanAllah, man, this is... I have no one to blame but myself. I neglected them. Now look what happened. Yes, I am the one to blame. I take all the blames. No, but some of us, we don't like this. We blame it on the children. فَنَخْتَارُ لَهُمْ الرُّفَاقَ الطَّيِّبِينَ. Like as a father in the community, you be watching the children. If you see some children, they are righteous, alhamdulillah, they have good manners, they respect the elders, they are always nice, peaceful, easy to talk to. MashaAllah, they love the deen, they love the Quran, the sunnah. These are the ones you are like, MashaAllah, make sure that your children spend time with them. Aina. This is an obligation upon the parents, especially the father. And if he sees, you know, in the community some children who are not, you know, they disrespect the elders, they disrespect the masjid, they have attitudes, nobody can talk to them. The way they dress is they want to imitate the kuffar. You know, now you want to allow your children to be around? No. Now you can help those children by talking to them, giving them advice, talking to their parents. But you're not going to put your child with them and they will corrupt him and corrupt his manners. تَسِعَ number 9. أيضا من الأمور المعينة على تربية الأولاد وهو في غاية الأهمية أن تنشئهم على محبة القرآن الكريم وتعتني بتعليمهم القرآن الكريم وتعتني بتحفيظهم كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى. Likewise, number 9, this is the point right before the last one. We have 10 points. And this is very important, extremely important. All of them are important, that this is the extremely important, that as a parents, the children, they should grow up loving Quran, having love for the book of Allah. Likewise, you do your best that they will memorize the Quran, the book of Allah. If you can do it yourself, go ahead, do it. If you don't know the Quran, or you know it and don't have time because you're busy with other things, find somebody who teach your children the Quran. Be in a community, in an area where there is a program for the children that they can memorize the Quran, and put them in those programs. Find the time. Now, find the time so that they can memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 946. It's only 39. Zakla. Now, that you make sure this is very important, that your children, they are in the programs, have program. If you're in an area where there is a program like this, and then you have to be careful who's teaching your children the Quran. You don't put your children with a Sufi, a Hizbi, Tablighi, and now they learn corrupt aqidah. They memorize Quran, but the aqidah is corrupt. Now you're going to find the person who's upon the sunnah, aqidah salafiyya, has good manners, akhlaq, because those children, they're going to spend time with him. Not only the Quran they're going to learn the etiquettes, the manners, the behavior, the aqidah, because they're going to see him, how he make dua, when he sneezes, what he say, when he eats or drinks, he drink with the left hand, the right hand, does he say Bismillah? When he answers the phone, how he does it, when he talk to other people, how he does it, children are observing. So you, not just the Quran, but you're going to also be careful. Aynam, ikhwan. Some of the ulama, they says, even if you have to pay, if you find a teacher and tell him, look, akhi, jazakallah khair, I want you to teach my children. Barakallahu fiqh. You find this person who has good manners, has aqidat salaf. His aqidah is the aqidah correct, and has good manners, and he knows the Quran, you tell him, akhi, I'll pay. And you pay, no problem. You pay. Don't you pay for their toys? Okay, cut down on the toys. Cut down the pizzas and shrimp and all that stuff. And invest where it's going to help them and benefit them for Quran. Find them a teacher that may come in your house, inshallah. Tell them, akhi, would you come 2 hours after school, 1 hour, at your convenience, and you work out a program, a schedule, and even if you have to pay, so that your children can be attached to the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. فهذه مسألة نعتني بها. قال إذا كان مثلا في هذا الحي لا يوجد حلقة لتحفيظ القرآن يجب على الآباء هنا أن يهتموا بهذا الأمر وأن يتعاونوا وأن يجتهدوا في فتح حلقة ولو حتى يدفع كل واحد منهم مبلغا معينا من المال. أي نعم سبحان الله. The Sheikh now is talking about where he is in Medina, in Saudi Arabia. Usually, in many neighborhoods, they have a center just for Quran, to learn Quran. Now, almost in every neighborhood. The Sheikh says, look, in your neighborhood, when the father, he lives in a neighborhood, if they don't have a center where the children memorize Quran, then he says he has to, this should be like, subhanAllah, the whole neighborhood, we don't have a center for Quran? Not talking about the city, just the neighborhood. He says, now that father, he has to be concerned. And he has to talk to the other fathers and say, listen, ikhwan, subhanAllah, how comes we don't have a center for a Quran, tahfid? Why is it? SubhanAllah. Not like, how comes we don't have a basketball ground or playground? Why we don't have a playground in our neighborhood? Why we don't have a swimming pool in our neighborhood? Why we don't have a store, grocery store in our neighborhood? Nah. Why we don't have a tahfid school in our neighborhood? He said, and they get together, and then even they put some money, hire some teachers, and then they will have tahfid school. Like here they say duksi. Tahfid school, so that the children can memorize the Quran, boys and girls. لماذا؟ لأن حفظ القرآن وفهمه والعمل به وتطبيقه وأعظم الأمور الدافعة إلى الصلاح والمعين على البر والتقوى والقيام بأمر الله تبارك وتعالى. فهذا من الأمور المعينة على تربية الأولاد. Why? Because memorizing the Quran and also understanding it, knowing the tafsir and acting upon it, that's what's going to make the people righteous. That's what's going to give those children the righteousness, and they will be upright. Give them taqwa. And they will act upon the commands of Allah easy, because they have so many ayats. It's not like when a father talking to the son about the salat and bringing an ayat, he don't know what he's talking about. But now here is a boy, he memorized the Quran, alhamdulillah, and you talk about the salat and you said one ayah, he finished it for you. He completed. وَأْمُرْ أَيْقُلْكَ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. He will finish it for you. He said, son, you know all this? Yes, father. You pray? Oh, yeah, you're right. Alhamdulillah. أَيْنَعَمْ. أيضا من الأمور المعينة على تربية الأولاد أن تتفقد أبنائك في المدرسة. يا سبحان الله. Another thing, the last point, that also from the things that help us as a parents, as related to this very important topic, which is the education of our children, that if your children go to school now, don't just put them in a bus like people do in here and forget about them until the bus drops them off. No questions, no where they go. Who? La. The Sheikh, he says you have to check on this school before even you put them in the school. What school is this? What are they going to learn in it? تذهب إلى المدرسة تسأل المدير تسأل المدرس الذي يدرس ولدك كيف هو في حل الواجبات في حفظ الدروس مراجعتها في حفظ القرآن. Says, no, you go to the school, talk to the principal, ask about your child. Is my child, what he, how is he doing? You go to the, who's his teacher, so-and-so. I say, I'm the father of so-and-so. How is he doing in the class? Is he giving you trouble? Is he paying attention? Is he doing his homeworks? Is he participating? How is he doing? His manners, his behavior, his attitude. Just in case if they tell you, oh yeah, look, he has a little bit, you know, has some attitude, you can take care of it. Not like after a year, the whole year, until you receive now a letter that he's been expelled or whatever. Nah. You do this. You go and check on your child in the school. What does he do? Insha'Allah ta'ala.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Samatra, change. Now, this point is important as well, because when the children they reach the age that they have to go to school, then as a parent, you should choose for them the best school for them. And of course, sometimes when you are in an area, you may not have much of a choice, you know. But still, you have to do your best. The school is very important. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, when he was talking about this topic, he says, it is an obligation upon the father and the parents in general, and whoever is in charge and the guardian of those children, when before they reach the age when they have to go to school, he has to find the right school for them. And the mashayikh, they were talking about in the land of Muslims. Not just any school, or put your children in there. Now he says you gotta choose. Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, he says you gotta look at the reputation and the aqidah of the principal. Who is he? His aqidah. Because if it's aqidah, ash'ariya, mu'tazila, habash, sufi, what do you think? He's gonna push that curriculum. Of ahlul dalal, or ahlul bid'ah. But if the principal is Salafi upon the Aqidah Sahiha, he's going to be mindful, look, no curriculum, no bid'ah in here. Okay? And even if some children want to act or like some teachers, that principal, he will deal with that. Likewise, Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, he says, also the teachers, who's teaching your children? Who is the teachers? Even math teacher, but who is he? Does he fear Allah? Has good manners? Has correct aqidah? Because this is amana. The children, they're going to spend a lot of time with the teachers. And the teachers, they have influence on the children. Because that children, he respect the teacher a lot. Especially as a parent, you tell them, look, you got to respect your teacher. Listen to the teacher. Right or wrong? So if the teacher is a Shi'i or Iyadu Billah, teaching him Tashayyu. If the teacher is Sufi or Ash'ari or Mu'tazili or Khariji, that's what they're going to be teaching our children. You got to be careful. Like I say, but sometimes you may not have a mass of a choice. And we ask the ulama this question. They said you have to do your best. You have to do your best. Sometimes, let's be realistic. In our area where we live, in America, there is public schools, right? And charter schools. And there is so-called Muslim schools. Because there is some tafsil in there. And there is what? Homeschooling. But one thing is not an option, because you can't just like, oh, I'm not going to send my children to school. You got to send your children to school, right or wrong? Is the law. Children have to be in the school. Is the law. But choose public school, charter school, home school, or Muslim school, whatever. As far as Muslims, if you guys have Muslim schools, go ahead. But now, let's start with the Muslim schools. Not all those so-called Muslim schools that they are good. They say they Muslim school, but then, subhanAllah, those who put their children over there, Allah al-Musta'an. Allah al-Musta'an. They took their children in no time. Then there is a home school. But homeschooling is not for everybody. Parents, they have to be qualified to teach their children. Some parents, they don't know what it takes to teach. Some parents, actually, they may not even know English. Especially the immigrant ones who come here for whatever reason, they're not qualified. They don't even know what's going on. So for the homeschooling, they need to weather themselves, the parents. If they qualify to teach, they should. Yes, it's going to be a little bit tough and difficult, but doing it for your children. But if it's not, they can find somebody who will do that for their children, even if they have to pay. Somebody that have a correct aqidah, somebody who has good manners, that will come to spend some time with the children in their home, or they will go to his home if it's suitable. And sometimes some parents, they have no other choice except to put their children in public school. Sad reality. But that's the only thing, what they do. Still, those parents, they have to be careful and check after their children. When they come home and said, what the teacher talk about? Sometimes they talk to them that, oh yeah, the teacher says that we all come from the monkeys. We used to be all monkeys. And then we evaluate the evolution. Why other monkeys didn't evolve? Why only some monkeys? What happened to the monkeys in savannah? Not Georgia, in the savannah, the forest. What is the monkeys in the jungle? What happened? Why they didn't turn to men? He said, la ilaha illa. Yes, you tell them, no, son, that teacher don't know. Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ كَذَا كَذَا كَذَا. This is why we were created from this, because Allah tells us, no, not this teacher. Now, you keep after your children. And then you try your best. One person cannot do it, but as a community you can. Make it a concern. We need a school for our children. We need, and don't just wait for the administration to do everything. No, we as a community, we make ourselves available. What it takes for us to have a, alhamdulillah, Islamic Salafi school for our children. So they can learn math, physics, science, whatever, and also Quran, hadith, fiqh, akhlaq, the aqidah of the Salaf. We need a building. All right, and after the building, we need the whole blueprints. And then let somebody who has skills in this break it down. This is what it needs for this school. This is what the budget, this is. Okay, as a community, let us cut down in our spendings, and let us put some money on the side, and let us raise that money so that our children, they are on the safe side. Can we do it? That's the question. Let us think about it. Let us see how much are we serious about our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and help us and aid us as parents especially, so that we can be the best parents for our children, so they can be the best parents for their children, inshallah ta'ala. And remember, why we do this, why we apply these points and these guidelines, we'll be, as a parents, the first one to benefit from these things. Because when our children are righteous, they're not giving us hard time. You don't have to go and to worry about them. They're not talking to you, giving you a hard time. You got to go build them in here. Oh, man, no. You're the first one that benefit as parents. They're not giving you a hard time. Rather, they're giving you a good time. They're checking on you, kissing your head. How you doing, mother? I love you, father. I don't say this much, but I want you to know I really appreciate what you do for me. I know that when you put me to sleep, mother, and I still hear you still washing the dishes, still ironing my clothing tomorrow for school. Jazakallah khairan, mother. Barakallahu feek. I love you. When I grow up, inshallah, I'll take care of you. You don't have to do anything. I will do everything for you. See? That children will be the first one that benefit and the community benefit, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.